Right, we're in the car.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
I was just
going
to tell you something really
really rude. Yeah. That you couldn't keep. Okay, I'm just going to put my bum warmer on. Do you want yours?
Yeah.
I've also brought some mango and melon and pineapple. Anyway, I can eat all of that now. I feel really proud of myself on my.
That's a big change, isn't it?
Fruit journey. Yeah, if you're going from like just eating two mouthfuls of banana, also actually. Thinking that a banana milkshake was a fruit and one a day. To oh, now, man. I'm eating. Sorry, that was, who's that? Katy Perry or something?
Nancy.
That's the name of my phone.
Oh.
So anyway, as you can tell, we're in the car, as we always seem to be in the car.
Love the car.
We've got the bum warmers on. It's a bit chilly, isn't it? It's a bit chilly now for like November. Feeling a little bit cold for November.
Yeah.
So we've, I've forgotten my coat today, which is a stupid thing to do.
How am I more dressed than you? Normally I'm like in flip-flops.
I don't know, but you're representing with the leopard bag and and you've also got a leopard star on, so representing the leopard world.
I got leopard
listeners
bra.
Like actually send us messages saying that they wear leopard sometimes to think of us.
Oh, do they?
Just, you know, when they need a little pep talk or they just need a little support, they wear a bit of leopard and know that we're with them.
I nearly bought us matching leopard tops the other day. I wasn't sure if it was one step too far.
If we ever are on the front of a Slimming World magazine, you know what we're going to have to wear.
Leopard, but we'd have to do like the same outfit in different colours.
Oh right, yeah, okay.
You know,
like the same species, like related species.
Yes. Even my hairband, look, leopard print hairband.
I know. Anyway,
that's not really what you've come to listen to, is it?
No. So if you've been following this, we are Slimming World podcasts, and every Monday, we do some bite-sized mojo, and we've talked about all kinds of different things, from emotional eating, boredom eating, calcium. What
birthdays,
else have we
done? Overwhelmed. We've done everything.
Body magic,
veganism.
It's all kinds of things, isn't there? So
anything that really springs into our mind.
And the point is, actually, you might be just joining us on this journey now, or you might be following us a while, but sometimes there are different things that we need to hear or different bumps that kind of catch us out. So the point is, you can scroll back through our back catalogue, and any kind of topic that jumps out at you specifically to what you need now, you don't have to listen to this all in order. You don't have to listen to us right from the start or like the most recent episode.
We are. Do you know, I listened to us going to sleep last night.
Oh, goodness me.
Do you know when someone says something about an episode, I was like, oh God, I need to listen to that. It was quite an interesting episode.
Did you enjoy listening to yourself?
That was quite interesting.
Well, see, the process of how we make this is we record these conversations, then I have to go home and I edit them. So I end up listening to our conversations about three or four times over.
Oh, my God, I must drive you mad.
Well, sometimes you do. Yeah.
but I try not to swear. That's my hardest thing.
Yeah.
I just love swearing. Does anybody else? Did you not find, like, my mum says, like, for a really highly educated person, an intelligent person, it shows how unintelligent I can be. But sometimes a swear word just says it all, doesn't it? Anyway.
Ever the professional. And then I read the news for a living and do voiceover and stuff. So
do you not want to just drop an F-bomb in the middle of the news? Like,
there's something F-bomb. About when I put a microphone in front of me, I've disciplined myself enough to never swear. Because there's been times before where you think that you've edited something, you forgot, and you've left it in.
Can you imagine?
And so I actually witnessed somebody who did that at a BBC local radio station. I won't name them. And they did a retake of a link, but they forgot to edit out the first take. And in the middle,
did you have an F-bomb in it?
It had an F-bomb, and it went out on radio.
Would you lose your job?
You wouldn't lose your job, but I mean, it's a very silly thing to do, isn't it? So anyway, the world of podcasting, there you go. But we're here to talk about food and stuff, and
that's where
we're at. So
what are we talking about today, Claire?
So today we are talking about shoulds and expectations. And
what do you mean by that?
Shoulds. Well, sometimes you catch yourself saying, I should have lost more weight than I did.
Yeah.
I should be weighing less than I do because they are. Or my expectation that I will easily be able to lose 3 stone by Christmas. And, you know, sometimes we're not helping ourselves because we're actually like beating ourselves with a stick inside our own heads.
Yeah.
And you can hear that in groups, surely, when people kind of say, I've worked really hard, I should have lost 3 pounds, or even actually on the bad weeks, you think, oh, I don't deserve that
loss. I was going to say, the thing that just came into my head, I hear more, is the lack of belief that you could get it in the first place.
Yeah.
Have you switched the bum off?
I turned the actual heater off.
I was thinking, don't switch me bum off.
Skin and heart in here.
Do you know what I hear a lot?
What do you hear a lot? Anna, what do you hear a lot? Did that chuckle you? Tickle you, sorry.
That people really beat themselves up, like, I shouldn't have had to have this weight to lose in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
I should be at Target by now. And like that kind of, I'm a celebrate of the fact that you're just breathing, like, and I celebrate every small win, the fact that you got up in the morning, and what I hear is that people are waiting to enjoy their life until they get to the end of their journey. Like, I can't be happy until I'm this way. I can't be happy until I'm Target. I can't be happy until I've blinking enjoy the fact that you're living right now and you're making changes.
Yeah, that phrase actually, I'll be happy when I'm Target. And we've talked a lot about enjoying the process and the journey on this podcast. And I actually flipped that phrase around a couple of weeks ago. I just reordered the words to be, I'm happiest when.
Oh.
So I'm happiest when I'm seeing my family, hanging out with my little niece, when I'm going for a walk on a beach. So why not do those things now?
Yeah.
Rather than saying, I'll be happy when I reach Target.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. So many people are like that. They're waiting for the enjoyment to start. Enjoy it now because tomorrow might not come.
Yeah. So I imagine that a lot of people, and I did this exercise myself a couple of weeks ago where I wrote on a piece of paper in my journal, as we said, I love my journal.
I love a journal.
It's a good way to kind of really get what's going on inside your brain out. And I wrote a list of my shoulds.
Oh.
You know, I should be at Target by now.
Why should you?
Is absolutely one.
Why?
Because there are other people in the group who've been part of the group for less than me and they've stormed it. And
so let's put it
they've
like
lost
this.
More weight than
Why
me.
Why does Target... I was talking to a friend about this the other day. We're 38. I'm married. I've got a kid. Great. Fab. She's single and hasn't. She's like, I should be married with a child by now. And I said, why should you be married with a child by now? That's what society says. Do you want to be married with a child? Well, no. I haven't met the guy I want to have a baby with. And yeah, actually, I'm not sure I want a baby. Like, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because someone's been a member for 4 minutes longer than you and they're at Target, have they been through what you've been through? Like, have they had the journey you've had? Everyone is so different. Don't compare.
Yeah.
Really, really don't. Because I see people berate themselves like, you know, I should be this way. I should be doing this. You're on your journey and it's very personal. Everybody's body and mind is different. And that stops the enjoyment of now because you're too bothered about the fact that you haven't achieved it. You're looking at them. I remember when I got to Target, I was like, life will be perfect. I'll be a size 10. I'll be thin. Everything will be right. I had the same problems. I just had a size 10 pair of jeans. That was it. And it was that was the epiphany for me because I had equated being thin with everything being okay. And it wasn't because I hadn't sorted out all the other stuff in my life that was actually an issue that had stopped me enjoying myself, whether I was a size 22 or a size 10.
Yeah.
Life was harder when I was bigger, but I still had the same problems.
Yeah.
So I think that's the place
so
I come
from. So the expectations, having realistic expectations in the first place.
Yeah, losing weight brings so many positives, but it doesn't fix everything.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. And I think that's where a lot of people fail, that they get to Target and they're like, where's this like... You know, like how you see in the movies when you fall in love with someone, they come running towards you and it's beautiful. That's not how life is. Life is the fact that you fall in love and you fight over who's taking the bins out and they leave their wet pants on the floor, right? But, and that's
why
people...
Let's not go about
that. Yeah, I know. Oh, my poor husband. I hope he never listens to that episode. We've just had a message on Facebook about Instagram about my husband's pants. But what I'm trying to say is, like, it's not fixed until your mind's fixed. So that... The shoulds and the shouldn'ts are on that process to Target, thinking about the evolving side of your personality and what's changing in your life and how you need to deal with that. Thinking about that stops that disappointment when you get there.
Yeah. You know, your mate was saying about, oh, that's what society says. That's interesting because next to my shoulds, I also then thought, well, who says that and whose voice is that saying that kind of thing.
Is it
you
or is it someone else?
Yeah, or expectations of other people, of, you know.
Or social media.
I'll tell you one of the things that happened to me. So when I first started podcasting, full-time was like 5 years ago. Wow. And it was for Ice Hockey podcast. So I was the first female host to lead a podcast about ice hockey. I still am the only.
She killed everyone else.
Anyway, we got headhunted by a TV company. We ended up having a free a TV program on Freeview TV, where I hosted my own TV program with ice hockey highlights.
Wow.
And I shared it on my social media, and somebody commented, nice try, but you should look like this next time. And posted a picture of a, well, I mean, no disservice, but it was like a very fake tanned, beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed woman. And I was really annoyed, because actually I was really supportive of their daughter as well. And my argument was, how would you feel if someone said this to your daughter? You wouldn't like that.
How disgusting.
But it was that idea of, you know, his idea of, well, you should look like this. And I kind of denied that it affected me, but
it did.
And then, you know, I kind of went and spoke to a couple of friends who were hairdressers and beauticians, like, you know, what kind of clothes should I be wearing? How should I be doing my hair? And it did bother me. So then that's one of the voices that I do have in my head.
That's why I didn't pursue being an actress, because I was rejected so much on the way I looked. I just couldn't deal with it.
Mm.
I just got to the point where after audition, I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. I can't subject myself to this scrutiny of what I look like. Because it gets to your soul, doesn't it?
Mm.
It really, really does. And I think we live in a society right now with social media where the scrutiny is so massive. Like, you look at these... have you seen the new filter that's out, which, like, sucks your cheek and gives you the lip fillers? And I just thought, if Daisy ever felt that she needed to do that to make herself look better...
Yeah.
Like, how scary is that we're in that kind of society where it's like, you are not good enough?
Because I don't know if you saw that BBC documentary from Jessie from Little Mix.
No,
which
I got it on record.
It's on the BBC iPlayer.
Oh, where she...
And she didn't meet her trolls, but she met other people who had been trolled. And it was really eye-opening about the impact of these comments and how far people will go to kind of, you know, just uphold this external image.
I spent years trying to do it. The fake hair, the fake tan, the fake nails, the fake everything.
Look at you now.
I look like I've been dug up. But do you know what? This is me at my happiest, like in my scruffs, hair tied back. Do you know what I mean? Because actually, I'm now at peace with me.
Yeah.
I wobble. Do you know what I mean?
It's just easier. Yeah.
Well, I just, do you know what? Yes, I love having my hair done. I love being super glam. But actually, I've got to the point now at nearly 40 where I'm like, do you know what? If you are going to judge me because my hair is scraped back because I've got bad roots and bags, I don't need you in my life. Who am I trying to impress?
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Because if you're that fake person out there that is only bothered by my external, you don't have space in my life.
You can go. You should have seen her hand movements then as well. It was like, you go, sister.
No, but I remember Phil like saying to me, he said, I love you the most. I fancy you the most when you're just sat there in your pyjamas. I was like, oh, that's dead sweet. But that's what you need. I need to be with someone that loves me when I look amazing, but loves me when I look like I've been dug up.
That's what love is.
Isn't it? But that's what I'm saying. But we've got to feel that way about ourselves. And I think so many of us don't on our weight loss journey. We're waiting for the weight loss journey to end so we can be happy. And what I'm trying to say is that doesn't always add up.
No.
And it's about finding that happiness now. And I say that as someone whose life has turned upside down quite a few times with my health and just how I really used to take things for granted.
Mm. Yeah, you were saying that the other week.
And really, like, before my back accident, how... the really little things were so massive to me, and then when everything's taken away and everything you know is gone, that peels back who you are, and you've got to find what actually makes you happy really deep down. And that is things like your friends that don't give up on you because you can't go partying anymore. That is your husband who loves you when you're in your pajamas. That is the fact that just watching the sun come up because you're alive. And I think, you know, it sounds big and massive, but that's what being really poorly's taught me. Like, don't sweat the small stuff.
It definitely, well, I mean, it helps me put things in context.
Yeah. Do you know, like, in the past few months, haven't I? I've been sick again, and it's really made me start to just go, wow, I don't need that in my life, don't need that in my life, don't need them in my life, don't need them in my life. I just need to focus on positive energy. And that's why I try and fill myself with people who are around me thinking the same thing.
Mm.
And anyone that kind of makes me not feel happy inside, get gone.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No.
You know, the world's full of amazing people, but sometimes what the energy we put out draws in a bit of negativity. So that's why I always try and be... I met a lady in the hospital yesterday and she said to me, oh my God, you're so positive. How are you positive? I said, well, what's the choice? What choice do I have? I can either sit here and moan about how poorly I am, or I can go, oh my God, I've got a drug that's going to make me better.
But can I ask something, like, you know, as from a member to a consultant, just kind of thinking of some of these I shoulds, like the words that follow it. I imagine there's probably a lot of consultants who we know listen to this podcast who think, I should be perfect as a consultant, who would write that statement.
Biggest, yeah, the biggest yeah? thing, and I say to any new consultants, and I brought quite a few consultants on, you don't have to be perfect. Like, for me, I always want to be the consultant that people can relate to, and I think that means not being perfect. And what people say to me is they love the fact that you're honest. I love the fact that you tell us that you used to eat 16 chocolate bars a day. I love the fact, you know, I was talking about a fight I had with a packet of Oreos the other day. A member said to me, oh my God, Anna, you're so relatable because of that. But people don't buy into you, in, if you can see what I'm doing with my fingers in question mark,
like wiggly worms,
yeah.
Quotes,
yeah.
Quotes.
Like, they don't buy into you because you're the perfect slimmer, because you're the perfect weight. They buy into you because you get it, you get the good days and the bad days. So don't try and be a caricature of yourself. Do you know what? I live by food optimizing. I am a food optimizer. I'm passionate about helping people lose weight, and I'm passionate about people making lifestyle changes, but I am by no means perfect.
So, in that sense, as a member, when we kind of use the word expectations, our expectations of how to lean on and use our consultant, you know, need to be quite open as well.
Yeah, and ask for support and know that we're not perfect. We're slimmers too. And I think that's what's so important. We're slimmer to slimmer. But what we've learned is we've been on a journey, and we've learned the highs, the lows, and take our wisdom.
Or still on a journey is actually...
I'm never going to stop my journey.
I don't think I ever really thought until I kind of hung out a bit more with you and notice in your groups that you have consultants who come as members to your group.
I've got 12 consultants.
Yeah, I never really... I don't know why, but my previous journeys...
It was fixed.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Probably my expectations of consultants, like, oh, they've been there and done it. They don't know what it's like.
And I think that's the whole point. The journey is continuous.
For me, it's seeing you guys in a different light.
Yeah.
Like, equals, partners.
Yeah, and that's how we're always wanted to be and meant to be, because we're not sat there virtuous, but... What I have learned is a lot of things that may help and support you, but I'm still on that journey, you know. We're on race to race, 10 pounds to target. And for me, I've had to be really honest with myself in the last few weeks and say, do you know what, Anna? Right now, your weight loss journey isn't your priority. Your health is. Take a step back. Don't pressure yourself, because that pressure sometimes, like you were saying, you put on yourself is just too massive.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to be honest with yourself, don't you? But as a consultant, we are by no means shatterproof. We are totally human.
Yeah. So what other things do people put an I shoulds?
I should have done it. I should have been better. I shouldn't have had a wobble. I hear a lot like So I talk a lot about willpower and choice power.
Well, like, I shouldn't have eaten that cake. I shouldn't have eaten that biscuit, that kind of thing.
And like
the confession status.
Yeah, like Margaret always says, don't get angry, get fascinated. Like, work out why it happened, why you did it, and what you need to put in place so it doesn't happen next time. Don't get angry about it. You know, did I eat 26 worth of sins of coconut rings? Yeah. Did I really need to? Did I really want to? No, but I had to address the fact that actually that's what I did. I need to now not buy coconut rings because actually...
So learning.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really learning. Also...
Can I just throw one in? I should be doing body magic.
Oh, okay.
I think a lot, you know, it's one of the things that I'm kind of like, I know I really need to do it. I know it just feels like another thing to do. So, actually, I'm not looking at all the things I am doing.
Yeah, think about it. That's what I always do. I flip on its head. Okay, well, what are you doing? Are you taking the stairs instead of the lift? Are you trying to be active for 30 minutes a day? Okay, if you're not, let's put steps in place 5 minutes a day to do it. But don't beat yourself up because you haven't done anything. Because what does guilt do? It makes you go, oh, God, I haven't done it. Oh, my God, I'm rubbish. I'm just going to sit on the sofa and eat some biscuits. Whereas actually, do you know what? Today, I did 1% better than yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
Think of it like that. Also, I shouldn't have to do this again. Like, I shouldn't have put weight back on. You and I have both put weight back
That's on. So funny, because
forgive it.
Somebody said that to me the other day. They were like, wow, you look amazing. You've lost loads of weight, haven't you? And I said, yeah, yeah, you know, I've lost over 5 stone. And they went, wow, that's great. And I went, yeah, but I shouldn't have put it on in the first place.
Claire.
That was instantly my reaction.
Claire. Right, now, I have a lot of people that have regained weight. And the thing I will always say to them is, forgive yourself, let it go.
Yeah.
Because actually, that is going to hold you back. And we need to let that go and learn from it so it doesn't happen again. But if you keep beating yourself up about the fact... So I had a girl the other day, she's put a stone on since her lightest, and she was trying to get back. So I said, you know what, darling? Let's think about it a different way. Let's start your journey again. Let's clock your certificates up again and all of that. And actually, she's freed the guilt of trying to get back to 3 stone, she's now going for another stone.
Yeah.
Whereas that holding her back, and because all you've done is put some weight on. I said it to a lady the other day, have you killed anyone? She was like, no. Have you robbed anyone? No. Have you physically harmed anyone? No. Exactly. But it feels like the worst thing you've ever done.
Yeah.
No, you just, what you hadn't done, if you're anything like me, is learnt the skills to make long-term habit changes. And as a consultant and as a group, I need to facilitate that for you. So actually, we need to make something sure something different along this journey.
Mm-hmm. So it's recognised you on this route, you've got a new purpose, like a new
yeah, and a new learning
journey.
And actually, you've got, and the 9 times out of 10 when people have regained weight, it's because it was a diet. And they didn't embody a lifestyle. So my role is to help you embody that lifestyle and make some changes. So yeah, letting go of that shizzle. Seriously, I wanted to swear then. Did you like how I went to shizzle?
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you edit this.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I can say shizzle.
You can say shizzle.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've said it about 20 times now.
Say so shizzle, it's shizzle, shizzle.
Thank you. What else? What other shoulds could there be?
The shoulds, a lot of shoulds are, I should be a certain way, like... Okay, your target weight is your target weight. Mm. It is entirely up to you to choose what you want. You can have a BMI guided one, you can have an interim one, or you can have a final one. It is yours. And I hear so many people, my BMI for the lowest, I should be 7'2", right?
What?
Hell no. I never intend to be 7'2". Can you imagine? I would be like a bag of bones. And for me, that's not a pressure I want to go to. Like, I want to be a healthy BMI. Brilliant. I am in a healthy BMI, which is lovely. But so many people feel, I've got to be in this BMI. I've got to be in this BMI. I've got to be in this BMI. Mm. I always think about, if you could lose 10% of your starting weight, that is going to lower your risk of cholesterol, heart disease, diabetes, all of that. Mm. But if you want to be a certain number, be a certain number, but don't have someone's external pressure. Also, dress sizes. Like, I should be a size 10. Says who?
Yeah. Again. Why? And that's what I mean about right when you write down all these things that you're kind of saying, just jot them down and then come back to it later and you think, well, who says that?
Do you know
where's that come from?
Yeah.
When, how long have I actually even put in a number of how long have I been saying that to myself for? And I think it's quite shocking when you actually write, oh, actually, I think I've been saying that to myself for 20 years.
Have you ever gone, I should be a size 6 foot?
No. A size 6 foot.
No one does that, do they? Oh my God, I should be a size 6. Oh no, I'm a size 7, I should be a size 6. But we do it as women. Oh my God, I should be a size 10, I should be a size 12. The best thing, the best tip I ever heard, my mum gave it to me. Cut the label out of your clothes. Does it look nice? Does it fit? Do you feel good in it? Do you put that outfit on and feel like, hell yeah? So every clothes, every outfit I buy, apart from said outfit of sweatpants and a hoodie, I feel good in. I feel amazing in. Does that matter if it's a size 10 or a size 18? It's about feeling good. And I think it's about really understanding yourself with that. If clothes make you feel good, looking at it like that. If it's a number on the scales, but it's yours. It's no one else's. Like, if I lined up 10 women at 11 stone 4 or 14 stone 6, they would look totally different.
Do you know what? A couple of years ago, I actually got a dress online, and for some weird reason, they sent me the same dress twice.
Oh.
And so I had one dress, and I gave it to another one of my friends. Now, this friend was like 6 foot, super skinny, no hips, no boobs. And it was like kind of, yeah, like a clingy type dress. I'm all curves and boobs and bum and everything. And we stood next to each other and so it was different. Like, wow, how is that the same dress?
Yeah.
Same size,
but you
same
see
dress.
It and I see people are shocked, like when they say, I don't know, if say you get a new weigh lady and they weigh people and they see people's, you know, weight difference and they're like, oh, I'd never think that person was that way or whatever. It's because everyone is so different,
it's
isn't
it? It's a bit like, now you won't have
I'm
ever done
so
this.
I'm so scared what you're going to say.
Tinder for dating, online dating app. What is really interesting is when you don't get your phone out, you know,
well,
you're not going to
be.
I
was going to talk about like sizes of things.
Whoa!
Like, oh my god, where are we going with this?
This is where I was going. My thing is, it's so interesting when you kind of put a range of, I don't know, like guys in 5 mile radius who are between 30
Did
and 40 years old.
Of like how close they are.
Yeah, you can do like how far out you want to go. Anyway, when you look at the someone who is age 30 compared to someone who's age 40, and you're kind of like just scrolling through, swiping through endless faces whilst, you know, sat in your sweatpants watching whatever crap on telly, feeling sorry for yourself, eating loads of chocolate on a Saturday night. Anyway, as you're scrolling through, it's amazing how different people look at the same age.
Yeah.
And that really makes you kind of see how different people really are.
Exactly.
And to kind of embrace the individuality.
And I think how different people's bodies are. Like you saying, you're boobs and bum and hips, aren't you? And I'm literally like a square. Like, but you know what I mean? Like, and I think it's embracing what you are, because you only get one body. And my dad was a double amputee, right? And I remember him when he lost his second leg. And I was like, are you upset that your leg's coming off? And he said, you know what? I know I'm going to die if my leg doesn't come off. So take the blinking leg. He said, but what I've realised is the times I've berated my body, and actually we only get one shot at this, enjoy what you frigging got while you've got it.
Yeah.
And it's so true. As they're hammering your leg off, you're not thinking, oh God, that leg's fat. You're thinking, I want to keep me frigging leg.
Mm.
But we don't see that in the day-to-day. We feel bad about the fact that the leg's wobbling.
Can I tell you a little anecdote of something that a friend told me? He said he watched this TED talk. TED is like a world-renowned presentation thing for people who don't know. It's like for thinkers where they get on stage, talk 15 minutes.
Where did you get TED from? Is it just what the name stands for?
I can't remember what the initial stands for.
It wasn't like TED who started it.
No.
Oh, okay. Just
I don't
checking.
Think so.
I did Google it the other day and find out.
I mean, it's, if you ever need a bit of inspiration, there's all kinds of different subjects.
But it's like
people.
An umbrella for something, isn't it? A TED talk.
Yes.
Like,
right, okay. It's a franchise, basically.
Oh, okay.
Now.
So it's like a Slimming World. Like as in we're like, yeah, no.
Yeah, but for inspiration.
Okay.
So anyway, this TED talk, this TED talk was a guy who talked about the bumps that we kind of hit when it comes to weight loss and why we can self-sabotage ourselves. And he said that he was working with one particular client and helping her lose a significant amount of weight. And she'd previously always got so far and then kind of gone back and put all the weight back on. Anyway, as they started to kind of get closer to nearer target, what uncovered with this, because she was going for counselling as well as the food and the fitness plan, it uncovered that when she was younger, she'd had quite a difficult childhood. And she had like just basically not had a great time with guys, where she was bullied and really suffered some quite horrific things. Actually, he goes into a lot more in depth, but then what I actually realized is that she was using her weight to protect herself, so when she was
so
fat, then guys wouldn't be interested in her,
so
it was a way of her not having to deal with it.
Yes.
So as she was becoming slimmer, she was getting more attention from guys and people.
Yeah.
She didn't know how to deal with that. So once they kind of cracked that, they realized why you do these things by default without even thinking about it. And definitely kind of it resonated with me, in that I was thinking, you know, I'm going through this thing for target, as I know so many of our listeners are, of this fear around getting to target, or do we deserve it, or
so
why are we self-sabotaging. And it was just a kind of actually, am I doing it to protect myself from something?
Back
to those shoulds
and
expectations.
Being 10 pounds lighter is not going to change anything.
No.
You're
sure.
At target, but do you see what I mean?
Yes. Like, my headspace should already
totally
be there.
You are totally different.
Yeah.
You think about it. Think what you've changed. And I think you're putting so much pressure on yourself that, oh my God, when I get to target, I've got to be this person. No. ain't got to be anything. We just got to teach you how to keep your weight off.
Well, we were laughing, weren't we? That I think that my shoes have become a bit too big.
Yeah. I lost
the other week, I was talking about my pants. Well, now I'm like, I think my shoes.
Shopping.
I was like, I said to you, didn't I? My shoe keeps rubbing just one foot. It's really annoying me. And you're like, well, it's probably because it's rubbing in a different place because it's like got bigger.
That's right, yeah. We need to buy some new knickers and new shoes.
Honestly.
Oh my god.
Someone can sponsor us, please, to get me a new wardrobe.
Yes, and me. No, I've just gone from 5 wardrobes to 2 in this house move.
Wow.
I have literally got rid of so much shizzle. So much. It's quite cathartic, isn't it?
No, I was saying how I actually found it quite emotional, actually. Yeah. I was explaining to Anna that a couple of months ago I'd said on the podcast that I'd cleared out my wardrobe of my fat clothes, put it in bin bags. But then what had happened, people, I didn't tell you the second part of the story, is that I hadn't actually taken the bin bags to the clothes bin, right? I just kept them in my hallway and they'd just been kind of lingering there. And I realised last week that I just needed to get them gone. But what I didn't factor in is actually it felt quite emotional, me putting these clothes into the clothes bin, because it was kind of a way of me saying, okay, I am committing myself to never have to use these clothes again. And by holding on to them, I suppose subconsciously I was saying, well, but you might need them, you might go back there.
It's crazy, isn't it?
So letting that go and accepting and forgiveness. And it was like, I mean, come on, Freeman, all you're doing is putting a load of faffy old clothes into a clothes bin to be recycled. But as they fall out, you're like, oh, it's this dress and I remember wearing it here and I remember wearing it there. And
I just had a jumper, like, it's making me want to cry. The jumper I had on the last time I saw my dad before he died that night, I can't throw it away. And it's like, what's that about? Like, that jumper has nothing in your life.
Yeah.
But it's the last jumper I ever wore when I saw my dad. And so this crusty white jumper has moved house with me. It's mad, but it's mad how that emotional baggage comes with things that you don't even realise, isn't it? And it's so subconscious. Oh, look at me, I'm crying. My dad's been dead 3 years. It's a white, crusty friggin' jumper that's got ketchup on it. But I've kept it.
Bad, isn't it? Totally understand.
It's crazy, though, where my head's at.
There's even outfits that I think where it reminds me of the day that I met, you know, a particular boyfriend. Yeah. Or I can't wear an outfit because they dumped me and
yes,
I was wearing that
yes.
outfit.
Or did you ever have like lucky knickers? No, I don't mean like lucky knickers. No, no. not lucky knickers, but like good things happen when you have those knickers on. Like I remember...
I mean, I used to have a white top when I went clubbing because it made my boobs look good. And then all the boys would notice me in the bright lights of a club.
I was thinking, like, I remember I used to wear these knickers every time I got a job interview, like a job, and like... Oh, they were so crusty. Well, they weren't crusty. Oh, my God. Oh, I don't wear crusty.
Oh, my God. We know all about yours and your husband's pants now, don't
no,
we?
What I meant was, right, I'd had these knickers for, like, 7 years, and they clearly had had better days. You know when they've been through, like, they're white and they've been through the black wash? Like, I didn't mean, like, they're hanging.
Anyway, I think you should throw those pants out.
Oh, they're gone. They're gone. The only thing that's hanging around is the jumper from when Dad died, and a lot of random stuff from, like, yeah, you know, that has that attachment of like a good memory, and you think, oh no, I'm going to keep that. I'm never going to wear it. So what I've decided to do is, I don't know if you heard about them. This is so random. Memory bears. So you have like little bits of them cut out.
Yeah.
So I'm having a memory bear made for Dad, for Daisy, and for different things. Cute.
That's nice.
Yeah. But it's that should and shouldn't thing again. Going back to it, actually, get rid of the fat clothes. Get rid of the knickers.
Well, it comes back to, well, what is actually really going on here? These are just clothes, but what is this masking? Okay, the clothes for me were masking part of my acceptance of, actually, I don't want to go back there then, or this has really happened, or that did happen and I forgive myself. And...
Or like, yeah, like me, the grief is still massive that my dad's gone, and actually things like moving house and the clothes, I hadn't realised still how raw it was until you bring up all these things. And I think that's part of a weight loss journey. It brings up loads of stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I think you think some of the things, well, that both of us are going through, like moving house, we're both in the process of buying our first homes, and that comes with
my first home on Friday.
Yeah, that's where it becomes it's such a different like trajectory of life, isn't it? But it's a commitment, and also even just like the thought that you know, you would want your dad to come and see your first home.
I think that's the big thing for me is, like, in my house I'm moving out of, it's the last house my dad ever came to see. It's the house where I got pregnant with Daisy. It's the house where I had Daisy. It's the house where dad died. It's the house where we got married and all of that. And you don't realise how emotional things are. And I think you don't realise how then intertwined that is with food and weight loss and everything. And it's a whole lot of baggage, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think your dad would be pretty darn proud of you doing all this, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Well, it's really weird. I'm really into white feathers, as anybody on Instagram knows. And on Sunday, I opened the fridge and out came a white feather. Out the fridge! Like, Dad, what are you doing in the fridge?
Hang on, how does a feather relate to
Do you know
dad?
About the white feathers? So white feathers are a sign that there's an angel or a spirit around. I'm really, 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 really into it. The week my dad died, I found 47 white feathers. The biggest one being, it was my first midwife's appointment. And I was in a sterile room and I had my coat on and the midwife was sat opposite me. And literally out of nowhere in this sterile room came a white feather that big. And it was the first time I ever heard Daisy's heartbeat. It's so weird. So weird. Yeah, and it's mad. And I never bought into it, but for me it's a little bit of peace. You know, even if it is some chicken that's died somewhere that's not feeling so good that's dropping these feathers, it makes me feel like dad's around.
Whatever makes you happy.
Yeah, I'm really into it with, like, smells as well. So I was telling you about how I found dad's shirt and stuff and his pillow and it still smelt of him 3 years later.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is an episode about my dead dad. I'm so sorry, guys. He was brilliant. You would have loved him. He liked his food too. My dad was on TVAM on a weight loss special. I don't know, TVAM back in the 80s. My dad put on a stone in the weight loss special. Didn't lose.
Oh, yeah. And look at you now.
Look at me now.
Representing.
He's dead and I'm a swimming rock.
Educating everyone about how to lose weight. You're an inspiration.
No thanks to dad.
So, like, what are your shoulds right now?
My shoulds are be kind to myself. Should. I am thinking in the run-up to Christmas, I'm trying to be 10% better each day than I was the previous one.
So actually that's a power should. It's turning a negative should into a power should.
Like, I've got this new treatment starting and I know it's going to be pretty awful and I've just got to make sure that I don't use that as an emotional spiral. So I'm going to be kind to myself. I'm going to eat clean, healthy, good, nutritious food. I'm going to power my body up with good food and I'm going to celebrate the wins, not the losers. The losses. Because I think sometimes...
Whilst getting losses at the same time.
Yeah. For me, I'm trying to just maintain. I don't think psychologically and physically I'm in a weight loss place.
Yeah.
But if I can stay where I'm at and be this place in January, I'll be buzzing.
Yeah.
And I think to try some new stuff. Like new house, new kitchen, new knives.
Well, that's it. And all, like, the exciting things I'm learning with my vegan
clean
living. Oh my
god, we've just done some vegan shopping, haven't we? Exciting.
Yeah, actually, you know, last week we were talking about trying to find the chia seeds and this week we actually went to a shop before we did the podcast and we found some.
And we got some good cheese.
We got some good cheese.
And what did we find out from a little old lady that was 88 in the shop?
About
molasses.
She was talking about how for people who are low in iron and she has with some hot milk a spoonful of this
molasses.
Like it looks like honey basically.
I think it's about 2 cents a level teaspoon, but it's meant to really help with iron. So we were like, she look good for 80? Dinky little lady, but it was like she was meant to be there at the molasses section, wasn't it?
She was, yeah. And she basically was the best salesperson that we ever knew because both of us were like, all right, let's do it.
Let's have it.
I want to live to 89.
What? 27 quid? We'll have it.
Anyway, we hope that we've kind of encouraged you to think about what are some of the things that you're putting pressure on yourself about right now. Get a notepad and pen, write down what is in your head of some of the shoulds and the expectations and really scrutinise them and look at them and think, how long have I been thinking this? Because if you realise actually you've been thinking some of these thoughts for 20 years and you don't want them to be there in another 20 years time, what are you going to do about it? How can you change your mentality?
We've got pre-set records, haven't we, and things that we feel we should be and shouldn't be, and
the limited beliefs, you know, that's what they're called, and they can come from come from like the smallest thing, like a comment that someone said to us at school, or something that one of our parents said, or anything really, or friends said, or a photo or a program that we've watched. And it's like actually writing it down, looking it in the face, and then thinking, is that a realistic, like, would, if my friend said that to me,
yes,
would I be okay with that?
Yes. Or if your friend said that about themselves, like, what would your reaction be?
Yeah.
Because actually that's a really good barometer. Would you go, if you said something to me, would I go, oh my God, Claire, that worries me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Call yourself out. Call yourself out. Yeah. And let us know. Keep us posted on Instagram. Also, drop us an email, slimworldpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, you're getting better at this
now. I am, aren't I?
Yeah, it's taken her about 11 months.
And I need to stop saying on Instagram, apparently, because I had a message about this, sliding into my DMs, because apparently that's not an appropriate thing for a woman to say who's married.
Every day's a school day here on Slim World Podcast.
Isn't it just?
There's another little bit of a tidbit of education. We hope you have a great week, whatever you get up to. And see you next Monday.
Good night. Good morning. Good evening. Good afternoon.